The Word of God to give us light and hope in a dark world this morning. The baptism of our Savior Jesus Christ for Matthew chapter 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, your substitute, your brothers and sisters. Friday was an emotional day for many. For many, they were feeling emotions of sadness and disappointment. For many, they believed that they were only looking at promises that had been broken, and as they looked ahead, they did not see much hope. What I'm speaking about has absolutely nothing to do with the inauguration or a new president. What I'm speaking about is a Friday in January that has become known unofficially as Failure Friday. Why is it known as Failure Friday? Well, for people who study such things, they've done deep research into how long it takes people to break their New Year's resolutions. And on average, it takes about 3.5 weeks or 24 days to break your New Year's resolution. Now, I know that Friday comes before that, but when many people come to the Friday around 24 days and the weekend's coming, and they realize this whole resolution thing isn't working out too well, they finally say, enough with it. Let's forget about it. I'm done. And it's become unofficially known as Failure Friday. Perhaps some of you experienced that as well. Now, I know some of you are saying, oh, I don't make New Year's resolutions. Those are silly. Well, you can say whatever you want to. But the stats still bear out that many Americans do. 41% of Americans make New Year's resolutions, and another 17% do it maybe once every other year. But here's the sad and sobering number, which makes a day like Failure Friday real. Of the 41% who make New Year's resolutions, 9.2% felt they were successful in achieving the resolution. Over 40% making the resolutions, 9% or so in some way feeling they're at least successful. So we get to this time of the year, and it's gray, and it's blah. And some of us are still dealing with germs that we don't want to be dealing with. And then on top of it, maybe you're feeling a little disappointed because you don't feel that well pleased with yourself. You had resolutions you're trying to keep, and they just don't seem to be kept. Promises made, promises broken. I bet we probably didn't actually need research, though, to tell us that, right? Do you roll in each new year looking in the mirror saying, oh boy, I'm so happy that I'm me. I wish I could come up with a resolution to how to improve, but it's so hard. Maybe I'll resolve next year to come up with a resolution because it's just it's difficult. I like what I'm seeing in the mirror. No. You don't need stats, right? Whether you make a resolution or not, oh, that voice of the conscience that tugs at your heart and your mind and your ears saying, you're not doing well enough. You need to improve. You need to be better. You need to do better. You know what? That voice is there regardless of the month, regardless of the day. And that voice can get into your head on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, 12 months of the year. Which is why it's helpful today to go back and see the only man who ever walked the earth who never needed to make a resolution. Jesus, son of Joseph of Nazareth. In our text today from Matthew chapter 3, he's being anointed in a sense, which is what kings would do when they took their throne, when they began their reign. He's being anointed with the Holy Spirit. He's being baptized by John. And the Christian church has often called that, in many ways, the inauguration of Jesus, because at this point in time, about 30 years into his life, now we're going to see all kinds of detail about how he's preaching and teaching and healing. And his life is going to be going in a very clear direction towards the cross about 36 months later. But up until this point of time, even though we don't have a lot of ink in the Gospels to tell us about it, Jesus has been perfect. I mean, literally perfect. For 30 years, New Year rolls around each year, and he really can look in the mirror and say, I have no resolutions to make. There's nothing to improve here. This is absolutely perfect. Which is why his relative, John the Baptizer, is so confused. When Jesus comes to him in the desert and he wants to be baptized, I don't think John would have had as much problem if Jesus just wanted some oil poured on his head like the kings of Israel of old. If Jesus just wanted to put his right hand on the Torah and take the oath of office, I think John would have been fine administering that. But when Jesus comes and says, I want you to baptize me, John says, wait a second. Time out. I don't get this. This is not how protocol goes. Because John had been practicing and preaching and applying a baptism for the forgiveness of sins, for people who needed to repent of sins. And Jesus has nothing to repent of, no resolutions to make. And John does not understand it. And honestly, Christians for a lot of years have struggled with this too, including Bible teachers. They said, well, why did Jesus really go to be baptized? Well, he said it was to fulfill all righteousness. So maybe this was just another little thing that Jesus needed to check off on the list of stuff to do. But that's not really what baptism is. Baptism is not presented in the Bible as just something to do because God said, go do this. Baptism is always described as a gift from God, where he's giving you something. He's doing something for you. He's clothing you in his robes of righteousness. He's calling you his son, his daughter. So what did Jesus have to do? Well, when you look at those words, it's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. It's helpful to realize how that can be translated. It can mean to fill up all righteousness. See, this is what Jesus is realizing at this point. He's been perfect for 30 years, but in the next three, he is going to suffer. He is going to go through trial. And it's not just going to be on Good Friday. It's going to be before that. He is going to be tempted in every single way that you and I have ever been. He's going to be betrayed. People are going to try to throw him off a cliff, literally, because they don't like how he's preaching. I'm thankful that you have never tried to do that to me. He is going to go through suffering and temptation until finally, in agony, with sweat coming out of his forehead mixed with blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's looking straight ahead to hell. And he will resolve to go through it for you and me. So Jesus, who's true God, but also truly human at the same time, says, I will be strengthened and filled up with power from my Father. I will be anointed and filled up with power from the Holy Spirit so that I can not only take this oath of office, but fulfill my office as prophet, priest, and king. and continue to live perfectly and die perfectly and rise again for the sins of the whole world. So what? How does this apply to you and me? Jesus' baptism is really an illustration of our own baptism. Oh, maybe the preacher who baptized you didn't actually have a prophecy about him in the Old Testament. Maybe you weren't baptized in the waters of the Jordan River. And if you weren't, you can be thankful for that. It's a dirty river. I've been there before. It's kind of mucky. Yeah. Maybe the congregation didn't literally see the Holy Spirit descend like a dove or hear literally the voice of the Father, but it was no less powerful, even though it might not have looked as dramatic. When you were baptized, it wasn't just plain water that was put upon you, but it was water connected to God's powerful, Spirit-infused Word. And whether you saw him or not, you were anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, and you were cleansed with Jesus' forgiveness. Everything that Jesus did for 33 years, every year of perfection was now placed into your account. Everything that he did on that Friday when he died for all of your sins, it's like it happened to you. You died. And everything that happened on Easter Sunday was given to you. He rose from the dead, which means you will live forever and you stand before God as pure and holy and cleansed even now. And that means today or tomorrow or next year, when you fail on your resolutions or when you fall again into sin, this amazing thing can be said about you and to you. And this is what God, the Father, will say to you. He will not say to you, "I'm done with you." Instead, he will say the same words that he said to his son. "You are my son. You are my daughter, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." You might not feel well pleased with yourself, but God does. God is delighted with who you are or who he has made you to be. God doesn't stand at you at a distance. God doesn't tolerate you from a distance. God says, through the waters of baptism, through the life and death and resurrection of my son that those waters connect you to, through the word that is proclaimed upon you now, you are mine. And I want a relationship with you. And I want to be with you each day of your earthly journey, forgiving you, strengthening you, and comforting you, and pouring it out upon you, the Holy Spirit that gave my son strength. I'm going to do that for you too. So if you want to make a resolution, maybe this is the resolution you should make this year, and me too. When I feel like I have failed, and when the voice of my conscience and God's law and the voice of the devil is in my ear saying, "Give up. You're a failure on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday." Then what do? I resolve to go back to the Word of God and God's promises which tell me the truth. In the Word of God, I'm told that I am a baptized and cleansed child of God, and all of my sins have been nailed to the cross, not on a failed Friday, but on a good Friday. And nothing can change that, nothing can stop that, nothing can take that away from me or you either. Each day you wake up, you can make the sign of the cross over your head and heart and say, "I am a baptized child of God." There's nothing that can change that. And then you can hear the voice of your Father saying, "Yes, you are my son, my daughter. I am well pleased with you, and I will be with you this day." And this day, you do not need to be a slave to sin and to guilt and to fear, because my Holy Spirit's going to continue to work through the Word of God. And I'm going to lift you up and build you up and live in you this day and always. And I will resolve this day and this week and this year and this life and this eternity to love you perfectly, to be your father. And you will be my son. You will be my daughter. Another year. Another day. You can look in the mirror and you can say, I like what I see. I look perfect to God. Go forth in peace and joy. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He loves you. He's well pleased with you. Amen. May the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds through faith in Him. Amen.